very much, Jenny. So you've heard a little bit already about how
Cambridge technology and how Cambridge entrepreneurship can create new avenues for engagement between Cambridge and Africa, and how they can even act as a catalyst for Africa's development. I would like to use my time just to reflect a little bit on the role of students in all of this. And I would like to do so by presenting the only student-run organization that you're going to hear about in today's program, the Cambridge Development Initiative, or CDI, which a fellow student and I, and together with a wonderful team, have been setting up over the last year and a half. And I think the Vice Chancellor has really kicked off the day's proceedings with a very compelling vision of what it means to be an internationally leading university in Africa. And I believe Dr. Bird was already quoting the speech he gave at Monash University about universities in the bottom billion, where he said that we are uniquely well placed to make a difference. And there's a lot of power in that idea that as integrators of knowledge, Cambridge can provide holistic solutions to complex problems like eradicating poverty. But if I may be so bold, I would suggest that there's something missing from that vision. And what's missing are the students. Sure, there are a lot of PhD students involved in some of the projects that you will hear about today. But what about the master students? What about the undergrads? The vast majority of this institution, which is meant to be uniquely well-placed to make a difference. And I would like to argue that these students too, the undergraduates too, have a meaningful contribution to make. And I would like to start that argument just by pointing out that students are already doing a lot of amazing things. With the Cambridge Union, they've built up a world-class forum for public debate. There are Cambridge students who are working to build the world's fastest solar-powered racing car. And over at Penn State in the United States, students are actually working on a spacecraft that's meant to go to the moon, the Lunar Lion. So all of this is just to say that students already reach for the stars, sometimes quite literally. And so we believe that students can also be at the forefront of Africa's development. And that has very much been the premise of the work we've been doing over the last year and a half. It's been students who have designed, planned, and now also implemented four projects, all focused on the city of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Dar es Salaam is really an emerging megacity. 4 million people, one of the 10 fastest growing cities in the world. A city of tremendous opportunities, but also tremendous challenges. And to illustrate my point, I would just like to give you a brief overview of what our projects are about. But please keep in mind that all of this was done by students, although with a lot of very formidable help from Cambridge academics. So our first project is in health. And our student team has been working with Tanzanian physicians and the Tanzanian government to design a new type of primary care facility, specifically for urban slums. Imagine it as a sort of small pharmacy, but run and operated as a business by a highly qualified nurse. And by putting in a nurse rather than an untrained health worker, you're really dramatically expanding the kind of services such a facility is able to provide, expanding it to include basic diagnostics, some basic treatment. And instead of primary care sort of obscuring the work of hospitals and weighing them down, it would now be delivered right on people's doorstep. And at least in Tanzania, in these poor and marginalized communities, that hasn't happened before. So the regulatory environment is definitely very complex, but we're quietly optimistic that we're going to secure approval for a pilot within the next few months. And we've negotiated an agreement with one of the country's leading and certainly most ambitious healthcare companies to put a pilot of 10 such facilities on the ground. So that's sort of been the macro level policy side of what we've been doing this summer in health. More practically, we've been working with people at the Judge Business School to develop a course on entrepreneurship and healthcare. And we've piloted this at Muhimbili University in Dar es Salaam. It's meant to help us create a sort of a pool of the entrepreneurial healthcare professionals that you'd need to set up such facilities, and also to catalyze all kinds of other innovation in the Tanzanian healthcare system. In keeping with the theme of this whole session, I would say that all of our projects do have an entrepreneurial edge to them. And that's obviously at its most explicit in our enterprise development project. We've developed a training program called DAR Enterprises. 22 Tanzanian university students have taken part in it this summer. And it's based on a framework called design thinking, a framework for innovation that's meant to help you come up with business solutions that really address the needs of your customer. In this case, people who are living on $1 or $2 a day. And the students used this framework to launch 5 social enterprises. And the culmination of the program was a conference called Dare to Change DAR. And they were able to pitch their business ideas to an audience of potential mentors, potential investors, and actually their own family and friends. The lack of support from family and friends is one of the big inhibitors, the big cultural inhibitors of entrepreneurship in the developing world. Our third project is in sanitation. And over the last year and a half, our team has been working to introduce a technology called simplified sewage to Tanzania. It's imagined as a sort of stripped down, bare bones, very affordable version of conventional sewage. It's been hugely successful in Latin America and in Pakistan. It hasn't really taken off in Africa yet. So we've been working with the local communities and local engineers to put a pilot of this on the ground. And it's the first pilot of this technology in East Africa. And the whole pilot system, which covers 20 houses and about 250 people, is operated by the local community itself. It's the simplicity of this technology that really makes it empowering and that makes it ultimately very dignifying. And the city government is really interested in this. Only 10% of the city is actually covered by conventional sewage. And especially during rain season, you often have sewage flowing in the open through the streets, posing enormous health hazards. So they've agreed to let us expand this pilot to cover 100 houses or more than 1,000 people. And we are really interested in sort of trying different ways of doing that. Maybe a community-driven mode of expansion or expansion that's driven through a new business model and through entrepreneurship. We really want to find out how we can take this technology to scale. Finally, in education, we've designed a program of low-cost teaching quality interventions, which we've been piloting at 2 schools, 2 really under-resourced schools in Dar es Salaam slums. All in all, probably around about 1,200 students have taken part in this, sort of varying intensity. And a big focus of all of these activities was on peer-to-peer learning. So the kind of schools that we're talking about, class sizes vary from 80 to over 100 students. Often teachers don't even turn up. And so there's a real importance in taking learning outside the classroom and in empowering students to study and learn independently. And we think peer-to-peer learning is key to that. We started it both in the academic field, but also in extracurricular subjects. In all of our projects, we've been doing an impact evaluation to find out how can we do better. And especially in the education project, we were able to track some really quite marked changes over the 2 months that we were in Tanzania this summer. Increased confidence in speaking and writing English, which came from a very low starting point. A growing appreciation for student-centered teaching methods, which were real novelty for them. And a growing enjoyment in learning, which is maybe the most important thing of them all. I would like to argue that all of this constitutes entrepreneurial development. As you've seen, a lot of these are business-driven solutions. The scope of them, especially for a student venture, is very ambitious. And on all of them, there's a clear focus on how can we achieve scale in this. And they're often innovative. They're at the cutting edge within their field. And hopefully, the lessons we can learn can help inform other practitioners around the world, and maybe also other student groups who could set up similar projects in other universities tackling other cities around the world. But doing entrepreneurial development isn't enough. It takes entrepreneurial NGOs as well. And that's becoming a big focus of a debate in development at the moment. I remember reading a blog from a senior World Bank official, and he was calling to create an environment where it's okay to talk about failure, where it's okay to fail, given that that's the very essence of entrepreneurship. Fail often, fail quickly. And we think, and also to have sort of a designer mentality, that you're able to adapt to change on the ground and that you're not, you know, constrained by overly rigorous project management structures that constrain you rather than empower you. And that's something where we feel that students can really make a difference. We're not encumbered by red tape. We have the ability to adapt on the ground. A lot of our projects have undergone really dramatic changes while we were on the ground. And in the end, we don't yet have jobs on the line, and that's actually a really important thing. And yet students have sometimes really dazzling array of skills and talents which they have to contribute. So that's all I'm going to say about as an advocate for student-led development. But I really think that through seeing that we could do entrepreneurial development and that we were able to be an entrepreneurial NGO, that's where our belief that students can add value in Africa's development, that's where that belief stems from. I would like to finish just by highlighting a few opportunities for further engagement. So we really hope that by setting up such a diverse range of projects, health, entrepreneurship, education, sanitation, that we can also create a diverse range of opportunities for further engagement between Cambridge and Africa. And that one form for this might be research links. So there are a lot of research questions that have come up in our projects, and some of them may be interesting to Cambridge researchers. Some of them may be interesting to you, to the people in this room. The questions like, how do we improve the health-seeking behavior in low-income communities? What kind of pedagogy helps us empower Tanzanian secondary school students? And the last one's a really good one, actually. How can local universities stimulate an entrepreneurial ecosystem? And that's a question that in Cambridge we should be in a very good position to answer. Another opportunity for engagement might be testing Cambridge technology on the ground. We started a collaboration with a global health tech startup at JBS called Simprints. We also want to look into whether Raspberry Pi computers could help us enhance the peer-to-peer learning processes we've been working on. I'm looking hopefully at Dr. Lang. But there are many more technologies that might be relevant to the sort of goals that we've set ourselves. And we really hope that by having set up our projects in a sustainable way and with a lot of buy-in from local communities, that we can avoid some of the common pitfalls of applying technology in development. You know, that it's done in an unsustainable way, that it's not taken up by communities. So hopefully, since the projects were there first, they can serve all the better as a platform for technologies that are appropriate to low-income communities in Dar es Salaam. But maybe an even more important opportunity for engagement, and this fits really well with the sort of general theme of today, is related to the university students that we've been working with in Tanzania. In each of our projects, we have collaborated with university students. We felt it was a really natural kind of partnership. And it's probably been one of the most striking effects of the whole project over the summer, just how much these projects sparked initiative among these students. Some real young leaders came to the fore in the course of the work that we were doing. And we believe that they hold so much promise for their city and for their country. Not giving you happy faces, but sort of very business-like faces. I wanted to tell you the story of Ocek, the young man in the tie, who is now actually our country director in Tanzania. So Ocek, when he was about 11 years old, he was pretty much abandoned by his parents and he had to drop out of secondary school. So for 5 years or so, I think, he was living on the streets in Morogoro, one of Tanzania's largest cities. And I think with 12 years old, he had an alcohol problem, and it seemed rather hopeless. But through his sort of setting up small businesses, and actually through his faith, he pulled himself up by his bootstraps, as the Americans would like to say. And he raised all the money he needed to go back to secondary school. We're not talking some fancy international school here. This is the kind of school where only 3 students even proceeded to A levels in the first place. At the same time, he rose through the ranks at the local Pentecostal church where he had found a home. And when he was aged 18, he was put in charge of a teacher training program of this massive urban church. So training a lot of people who were much older than him. As a teacher, he's a real natural. And now he's at university studying politics. And while working with us, we've been continually impressed by how proactive he is about getting involved in all of our projects. And he's always been a fount for really entrepreneurial ideas, all of them focused on the kind of people he's met while he was living on the streets. But through getting engaged with our projects, he could actually follow through from an idea to put it into practice. And we hope that that's the kind of learning experience that is going to enable him to create transformative change for his own country. Needless to say, we're all rooting for him to be the next Tanzanian president. So through all the collaborations that are the big theme of today, all the collaborations between Cambridge and Africa over the last years, there's been a tremendous amount of capacity building for African researchers. And I would like to argue that the same kind of capacity building can be done for young African leaders like Ocek as well. If you think about what kind of skill sets such young leaders might need, things like preparing a compelling business case, reporting in a professional manner, but also engaging with a wide range of formative classics, you know, becoming well-rounded leaders who don't exist in a vacuum, but who are in touch with the thoughts of the greats. All these things are things that Cambridge can give to such leaders. And in fact, a lot of the people in this room could play a role in that. And that way I could plant a seed of leadership in Africa. We actually believe that it is really important that such activities take place in Cambridge, not just because it throws the weight of a really powerful global brand behind these young men and women, but also because it's an important act of reciprocity. We sent 30 volunteers to Tanzania this summer. It's time to get some Tanzanians back and unleash all the potential that one of the world's leading universities has, as the Vice Chancellor explained. So to finish, I would like to make an appeal to you to support such young African leaders in realizing their potential and realizing their vision, because there are many more stories like Ocek's that remain yet to be written. Thanks very much for listening.